Let's go to Romans tonight. You want to? Romans. I honestly thought, and we may make it to chapter number 2. That's where I've been studying all week. And then about 45 minutes ago, I remembered that I didn't finish chapter 1. But anyway, I may just touch on that a little bit and go on to chapter 2. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but we'll see. And appreciate the Lord, appreciate Him giving us these truths in His Word. The Bible said in verse number 22 of chapter number 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. I want you to pay attention now. If you have a pencil or a pen, I'd like for you to underline a couple of things. The Bible said, wherefore God also gave them up. I'd like for you to underline that in your Bible. I believe it'll help you somewhere down the road. And I want to go over something tonight in these verses. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You know, the Bible talked about the sin of adultery, that it was it just leaves a scar and that just won't go away. And I believe when the Bible's talking about dishonoring their own bodies, that it certainly in the text takes in the connotation of sodomy, man with man, woman with woman. But I believe that outside of marriage, regardless, that sex is dishonoring one's own body, because that was the plan that God had. And the Bible said, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. I wish you'd underline that. God gave them up. Gave them up unto vile affections. You know, anything outside of what God planned is vile. And the Word of God said, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them, what's that word? Over. Two times in the chapter, the Word of God said, God gave them up. God gave them up. And then what we just read in your hearing, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God. Boy, I'm glad the Lord backed me up on this, because that's exactly where we're going in chapter number 2. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Father, tonight I pray in the name of Jesus, our lovely Lord and Savior, that, Lord, You'd anoint our lips, and Lord, illuminate our hearts and our minds to both speak and to receive the Word of God tonight. Lord, we thank You tonight for the Apostle Paul. Lord, a man that was willing. Lord, when You took him down from that high horse, so to speak, he humbled himself. And Lord, you used him in a mighty way, and you're still using him today in the church world. And God, we thank you, Lord, that Lord Jesus got a hold of his heart and Lord loved the Gentiles so much, Lord, that you sent Paul, Lord, to minister to us the word of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd touch our hearts, touch our lives. I pray for those tonight, Lord, that are in the far country, that are living out in sin. Those, Lord, that have made professions down through the years and yet, Lord, are lost without God. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that something they were taught in Sunday school, something they heard in the preaching of the Word of God through the years would prick their heart, would, Lord, call them to repentance. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't continue to make a mockery of the things of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. We looked at last week the blindness of the heathen. We talked about that Gentile, one who worships idols, unacquainted with the true God. In the scripture, the word seems to comprehend all nations except the Jews or the Israelites, as they were all strangers to the true religion and all addicted to idolatry. And in our land today, there are many that are addicted to idolatry. Some of them, beloved, tonight, I'm just trying to preach, but they've been in front of a television all day. Some of them been in front of a game all day, and their thumbs are about wore out. That's all they've done all day long. Didn't have time for the Word of God. Didn't have time to pray. Didn't have time to help their neighbor. But I'm telling you tonight, beloved, the Word of God talked about that Paul said he was addicted to the ministry. I believe that we can, beloved, serve God even in these days, these dark days that we live in. The Word of God is telling us about the blindness of the heathen. But then we look tonight just briefly at the beliefs of the heathen. You see, they don't believe like we do. You say, preacher, how do you know they don't believe like we do? If they believed like we do, they'd behave like we do. And beloved, what we believe changes how we behave. I was thinking on the way to church about those police officers standing there. They have to form lines and the protests and things like that, and that really have just turned into riots many times. And standing there, and a man cussing him. I'm just telling you, cussing him up one side and down the other. Spitting on the shield that's in front of the man's face. I don't know why I just cannot get away. For several months ago in New York, when they were dumping those buckets of water on those police officers, they were instructed just to take it, go on across the road, not do anything about it. Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, you can look at their behavior and tell what's in their heart. Amen. And I know tonight, listen, that it's the grace of God, it's not you. And the grace of God, it's not me. The grace of God, it's not your children spitting on a police officer. And the grace of God, it's not mine. But the beliefs, the Bible said when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. When you look at the heathen nations, beloved, listen to me carefully tonight. Somewhere, you'll find a generation that turned their back on God. You'll find a generation. And listen, you say, preacher, well, what about their kids? You can see, beloved, in the Word of God, the iniquities of the father visited on the third and the fourth generation. When, that's how come, beloved, it's important, amen, that we leave some landmarks for our children and our grandchildren. It's important, amen, that we don't just walk with God, but we leave some landmarks in our life that they might come along. That's what the children of Israel, that's what, remember the stones at the edge of the river, the stones in the river. There were landmarks that would cause them to ask, what meaneth these stones? Amen. And then they could explain how God had delivered them in days gone by. But here's the heathen. They don't have a history like that. And beloved, they're going away from God. The Bible said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds, four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up. I just want to touch on this tonight, and we'll get into chapter 2 a little while. For years, and I know I've taught the church this before, but I also know there's people here tonight that weren't here several years ago when this came out from this pulpit. I, for years, did not know. I'm talking about in my heart of hearts, did not know because of the scripture that I've read to you, did not know whether or not a sodomite could be saved. I did not know. I'd heard it preached only one way, and that is that if you commit that sin, you're done. You're doomed. But I believe the Bible is true, don't you? I believe the answer's in the Word of God. I'm going to show you what God taught me in my heart. I won't be dogmatic about it, but I believe it's right. And this is what He taught me. There's a process, if you look at it here going on. He gave them up. And the Word of God said He gave them up. And then the Word of God said He gave them over to a reprobate mind. I want to say this tonight. If God ever gives a person over, that person will never be saved by the grace of God. They might live to be 100 years old. They might have money and they might be a pauper. They might be smart and they may not know how to spell their name. But if God ever gives a person over to a reprobate mind, that individual's conscience is seared. And beloved, they will never be saved by the grace of God. What is that sign, Carter's Valley, Miss Eve? It's still up. It's still up. Listen, I hope and pray to God that whatever we put on the church sign will be the truth. Don't you think that's right? The church sign down there in Carter's Valley, it still says this on it. I looked at it as we come by this evening. It said, "You're never too lost to be found." I'm going to tell you something, honey. I'm telling you about a crowd that's too lost to be found. They'll never be found. God has turned them over to a reprobate mind to do that which was unseemly. I want to say this tonight. Now listen to me carefully. I want you to understand that in the list, it's not just sodomy that's being talked about. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, beloved, listen. That individual that thinks they know better than the Bible, better than their parents, better than their preacher, I believe one of the first things that crawls up in that individual's life is P-R-I-D-E. And it doesn't matter, beloved, if it's you or if it's me, your children or my children, your grandchildren or my grandchildren. Listen, pride is a dangerous thing. It's not leading down a good road. The Word of God said, "Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." I'm telling you, beloved, listen, whether it's a politician, whether it's a preacher, whoever it is, beloved, listen, that thinks they know better than what the Word of God said, they're fools in the eyes of God. Those that are teaching and preaching that there's another way, they're fools, and they profess themselves to be wise. I almost say this tonight. Those that's writing the new Bible every month, they're fools. I'm telling you, this book is forever settled in heaven. And God said, don't add to it. God said, don't take away from it. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with what God said. I'm going to realize, beloved, the book ain't broke. I'm what's broke. The book don't need to be fixed. I'm what needs to be fixed. I need the Word of God. We all need it. Now watch this tonight. The Word of God said here, they gave him up. He gave him up. I don't know where an individual is in that. You see somebody that's involved in sodomy. I met a man today. I gave him, Brother Steve, gave him one of the little cards. I still got some of the old ones. Anyway, it's the same message, amen. I guess basically same message anyway. But anyway, I gave him one of the little cards. I said, "Sir, do you go to church?" He said, "I ain't been in a church in years except for a funeral or a wedding." I said, "Would you watch this video?" I gave him the card. He did take the card. How many believes we can pray for that guy tonight? He's retired. He's an older gentleman. And I gave him the card and I said, "Will you watch this video?" And he looked at me, "Brother Grizzle, here's what he said." He said, "No, I won't." He said, "I'll let you believe what you believe and you let me believe what I believe. But you know, that ain't going to keep me from praying over that card, Brother Steve. Maybe curiosity. Maybe he'll listen to a verse or two. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll promise you this. If that man lays that card down, that man never watches that video. When that man stands before God, he will be just like the Word of God said, without excuse. God had the gospel right there in front of him. Amen. Now watch this. He gave him up. And then he gave him over. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. I appreciate y'all praying. The Word of God said in verse number 9, know ye not, we would say in East Tennessee, don't you know? Paul said, know ye not, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. But let me say this to you tonight. Please listen to me carefully right here. Paul is not preaching this to the barroom crowd. He's preaching it to the church at Corinth. And I'll tell you this, according to what you read about the church at Corinth, there was a lot of things that were ungodly going on in the church at Corinth. Watch what the Bible said. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, watch this now, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Y'all know what that's talking about right there, don't you? Watch this. The Word of God said here, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Right here is where God showed me. If a person is in the process, if he gave them up, I believe they can still be saved. Here's why. Look at the next verse. Paul is preaching to the church of Corinth, and he said, such were some of you. Is that what it says? But you're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. By the way, let me just say this tonight. That's the only way anybody's ever been justified or sanctified, is through the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. And so what the Lord taught me was this. It all depends on where they are. There may be somebody dabbling in that that's deceived. You understand what I mean? That's been sucked in. That's the way sin does. It sucks you in. And I'll say this tonight. We better not get too proud, because it'll suck our youngins in. It'll suck our grand youngins in. Satan and sin is no respect of persons. And I'll tell you something tonight. The Word of God said they were there. And Paul's preaching to the church, and he said, such were some of you. Such were some of you. I'll say this tonight. When a man gets saved, he's no longer a drunkard. Say amen. You say, preacher, can God save a drunkard? He sure can. He can save a liar. He can save a thief. He can save a sodomite. He can save an adulterer. But I'm telling you what, when God saves them, that's not what they are anymore. It's one thing, listen to me carefully. It's one thing. I want to call it trip. The Word of God uses the word stumble. That's one thing. But when it's a way of life, that's another thing. I believe the Bible teaches clearly, plainly, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we preach and teach the grace of God that saves man for eternity, we're not talking about a grace that says go sin all you want to. Paul said it like this, God forbid. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly and righteously in this present world. I believe that tonight. I also believe this tonight. Let's just say somebody gets saved. somebody gets all tangled up and stumbles and they go on, you know what God's going to do? He's going to chasten them if they belong to Him. You say, well, preacher, what if they don't get chastened? Then the Word of God said, listen to the language. It's strong. He said, then they're bastards and not sons. What that means is illegitimate. They're saying one thing. They're saying they're a child of God. But the children of God can't go on like that. The children of God, God's going to speak to them. He's going to speak to them again. Now, I had a daddy that was pretty stern. He didn't speak too many times. Amen. He took action. I can't remember where I was, but I remember this happening one time. I don't know who it was that said it to the individual. I don't remember if it was a mother or a father. But somebody was saying to a youngin', you're going to get a whipping. You're going to get a whipping. You're going to get a whipping. And it went on and it went on and it went on and it went on. And somebody spoke up and said, when are you going to quit lying to that youngin'? I'm going to tell you something right now. If my daddy said, you're going to get a whipping, you're going to get a whipping. You might not get it right now. By the way, I'd rather get it right now and get it over with. Say amen. Can you imagine waiting all day, or all night, or all week, knowing it's coming? Because if he said it, it was coming. Kind of like Jesus, when you least expect it. Amen. It was coming. And so God loves His children. You say, preacher, what if someone does not respond to the chastening hand of God? Here's what I believe. I believe the Bible teaches it. I believe there is a sin unto death. I believe you can check out of here because you belong to God. I believe a person that's dabbling and diving off into sin is on dangerous ground with God. And I believe sometimes that early ticket out of here is more evidence that they did know Him than that they didn't know Him. Amen. When somebody gets sideways with God. We see the beliefs of the heathen and the behavior of the heathen. This caused God gave them up. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were unseemly. You know, years ago, beloved, listen to me tonight. Hardly anyone knew of anyone that was involved in sodomy. Now it's hard to find somebody that doesn't know of somebody that's involved in sodomy. My grandpa was an old country preacher. He didn't have a lot of education. He really didn't. And I'm not making fun of him. I used to a little bit in my heart. I didn't do it in my mouth. I wanted to keep my teeth. But anyway, in my heart, I'd make fun of him when I was a teenager. But he said one time preaching, I'll never forget it. He said somebody asked him about that. And this is what he said. He said, my goodness, young'uns. He said, the dogs has got better sense than that. It's against nature. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, beloved, wherever they are, God knows. I'm not even sure they know. If God turns them over to reprobate the mind, I don't even know if they know. But I know this, if He ever does that, there's no hope. There's no hope. Brother John, I've heard people say this, as long as a man's breathing, there's hope. That ain't always true. That ain't always true. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. If God ever turns anybody over to a reprobate mind, there's no hope. None. Whatsoever. Sin. It'll take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. I just now thought about Elimelech. He took his family down to Moab when there was a famine in the land. Moab was God's washpot. Amen. He didn't have no business doing that. God brought something good out of it. Thank God. Thank God. There are times when God can bring something good out of our mistakes. and our missteps. But I'm telling you, Elimelech died. Mahlon, and however you say his name, Chilion, Chilion, however you say his name, died in Moab. I want you to know this, beloved. It was serious. They went down, the Word of God said, to sojourn. In other words, they didn't plan on. I believe there's people tonight that used to be on the pews in the house of God. They didn't intend to get out for years and years and years. They just intended to miss a service here and miss a service there, and it no longer bothered them. And the first thing you know, they've been out of the house of God longer than they were in the house of God. Sneaks up on you. I believe with all my heart, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. Let's go back to Romans just a minute. Romans tonight, chapter number 2. I want you to look at that last verse in chapter number 1, who knowing the judgment of God. How many believes God is a judge? This world, there are people in this world don't believe that. But honey, he is. And every man, woman, boy, and girl, they're going to stand before the judge one day after a while. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 2. We'll almost hesitate to get started, but I need to get started tonight. Maybe we can get further than I thought. Therefore, the Apostle Paul said, years ago I heard a preacher say, when you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. Think about that for just a moment. But we are sure. Here's where God spoke to my heart as I studied. The judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Look at verse 5. But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. How many believe that in our land, the judge don't always get it right? The jury doesn't always get it right. I can remember as I was traveling, Brother Wayne, and raising support and preaching in the prisons. Often in churches, people would say this to me. Well, preacher, I guess all them guys are innocent, ain't they? In other words, going on like, well, first thing they tell you is I didn't do it. And I said, well, for whatever it's worth, 10 years I spent in the prison, and 3 men in 10 years told me they didn't do it. One of them in the 10 years had already been exonerated. They already got it right. They got it fixed. I don't know. I guess that's just something that goes on out here in the world. You know, they just think that when you go in there, everybody tells you they're innocent. But I'm going to tell you something about God. This judge, he never misses it. He always gets it right. He gets it exactly right. What I'd like to do tonight in the remainder of our time, we don't have much time left. But what I'd like to do tonight is start a contrast. The Word of God is teaching two things right here. The judgment of men or the judgment of man. Who he said here, thou art inexcusable, whosoever thou art that judgest. Now listen to me carefully tonight. Here's what some people say. They'll say, now, you say it ain't right to shack up, you're judging. No. I'm preaching the Bible. You say it ain't right to get drunk, you're judging. No. I'm preaching the Bible. You say sodomy ain't right. No, God said sodomy's not right. You say you shouldn't add to the Bible or take away from the Bible. No, God said you shouldn't add to the Bible or take away from the Bible. It's not judging to preach truth. It's not judging to stand for truth. It's not. But what Paul is talking about here is sheer hypocrisy. There's somebody that's pointing over there, and the Bible said they're doing, while they're pointing out another man's sin, that people are indignant about another man's sin, and yet they're indulging in their own sin. You say, Pastor, do you have any Bible examples of that? David. Do you remember when Nathan came to David? I won't take the time to turn over there tonight, but Nathan came to David and told him a story about a rich man, had all kinds of lambs. A poor man, he had one lamb, and it was like a pet. I believe the Word of God teaches that he slept with it, that he ate with it. It was a pet to him. It was a companion to this man. And a traveler came by, and the rich man took the poor man's lamb and killed it. David was indignant. David swelled up. As thy soul liveth, as the Lord liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. David passed judgment, didn't he? But David's tune changed when Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. In so many words, Nathan was telling David, you could have had any woman in the kingdom, and you took another man's wife. You see, David was judging in that story that Nathan told him, only to find out that he was passing judgment upon his own sin. I'll say some things. I don't know how far we'll get tonight. But I believe the judgment of men is full of excuses. We've got our excuses why it's okay for us to do what we do, but it's not okay for he or she to do what they do. But I'll say this about the judgment of God. There's no excuses. I've heard people say, when I stand before God, I'm going to say this or I'm going to say that. I don't believe there'll be any excuses. I don't believe there'll be any pleading. We're going to know that he knows. Pay us to know it now. He knows it all. The judgment of man is full of excuses, and the judgment of God, there's no excuse. I believe tonight, I'm going to leave this with you. We'll come back next Wednesday night, God willing, and get into chapter number 2 some more. But I believe tonight that if we had as many men and as many women in the world that were as concerned about character as they were their reputation, it'd be a lot better world to live in. You see, our reputation is what men think of us. Character is what God knows and what God thinks about us. I don't know why, but as I was looking at this and thinking about the judgment of God versus the judgment of man, I thought about something a preacher said years and years and years ago. And I think of it often. Some of you may have witnessed me at some time in the last 7 years doing what I'm about to tell you. This is what the man said. He said, character doesn't step on it. Maybe it's a cigarette butt. Maybe it's somebody's tissue. Maybe it's somebody's chewing gum wrapper. God only knows how many things were given out in children's church. But it said character will stop and pick it up and put it where it belongs, in the trash can. I don't know why. I never have gotten over that. Now, Miss Eve might say different. Y'all get that? No, she wouldn't say different. But I believe, in other words, if anybody's looking or whether they're not, if it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do. You say, preacher, I wouldn't pick up something like that. Well, you can wash your hands. Amen. And if I had about 20 more helping me, that'd go a long way. Amen. We don't need to judge one another. It's not right to judge one another. It's a full-time job to judge the fellow that you shave. Amen. Except for Dustin. You can judge the fellow that you don't shave. Amen. Amen. I believe God wants us to understand the difference between the judgment of God and the judgment of men. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for these few minutes we've had to spend together. Lord, we're living in a world where the heathen are exactly what they're supposed to be, exactly what they've always been. Would you help us, our Lord? The Apostle Paul told us to judge ourselves. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that men are in trouble. God, their only hope is Jesus. I remember years ago, Lord, I believe it was Carol Robertson that wrote the song, I Want the People to See Jesus in Me. I want the people to see Jesus in me. Lord, make my life what it ought to be. I want the people to see Jesus in me. Lord, we failed. If all they see is us, Lord, I think about Jesus dealing with the woman taken in adultery. God, I believe her life changed that day. She didn't have someone just sitting in judgment. But she had someone that offered mercy. God, thank you. When I deserved judgment, thank you, Lord, for offering me mercy. God, I pray tonight that those in the world, and I believe for the most part, people have not been turned over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. Those in the world that are lost, it is my prayer tonight, our Father, that they would realize there's a loving God, a Savior, a merciful God, Lord, that one day will no longer be a Savior, but will be a judge. Help them, God, to receive mercy before it's too late. Bless our people. Lord, I don't know if it was Brother James or Sister Thelma. I don't know what the issue was a while ago when they had to leave. But God, you know. Would you minister to them tonight? Would you help them tonight, whatever the need might be? Lord, tonight we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.